The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Says Parashas Lach Lecho. At the end of the Sedra, we have the Parashas of Tzitzis. Vayim Hashem al Moshe lemor, Hashem said to Moshe, you say, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, amata lehem rasulem tzitzis. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them that she shall make for themselves tzitzis. Al kanpei v'gdehem the derisom, on the corner of their garments, for generations. V'nosno al tzitzis hakonof tzilt'cheles. And you should put on the tzitzis, which is on the corner, a strand of pelis, which was also made of wool, and was dyed with the blood of the chalozim. That's a creature that seemed to live at the bottom of the sea and would come up once every 70 years. Why are lachem tzitzis? And it should be for yourselves tzitzis or lishem eishoy, and you shall see them, see it. Vuzachatim is called mitzvah Hashem, and you should remember all, and you will remember all of the mitzvahs of Hashem, v'atzisem eishom, and you shall do them. Le'sosura achrei levavachem, and you will not be turned away after your hearts, v'achrei neichem, after your eyes, asher atem zonim achareihem, which lead you away. Le'mantiskru v'atzisem is called mitzvahsoi, in order that you shall remember and do all of my mitzvahs, v'isem v'deishim le'leichem, and to be sanctified to your God, and me, Hashem alakechem, Hashem rotesh ischem eretz Mitzrayim, lios lachem le'elokim, I am the Lord your God, who has taken you out of Egypt, to be your God, and me, Hashem alakechem, I am the Lord your God. This is the mitzvah of tzitzis. The word tzitzis, what does it mean? So Rashi gives two explanations in it. One is hapsilim hatluyim bo kimay vayikocheni mitzitzis reishi, like something which comes out of something else, like we also refer to the hair of the head as tzitzis reishi, and this means something which is extends, an extension of something, a growth of something. Also, we use this terminology for peres hasode, fruits of the field, as it states, tzitz hasode. That's one interpretation. Second interpretation is meitzitz binach urisem eisoi, from the word to see, as it states in Sharashirim Beis, Meitzitz min acharakim. He looks from the clefts. To be Meitzitz means to see. So we have these two interpretations. Either it's an outgrowth of something, an extension of something, or it means to see. The Maral asks, how can one word mean two different things? So he answers, it's chodem ilsehi, basically one thing. When something grows out of something else, or it's an extension, then you're able to see it. If not, you cannot see it. And a little deeper explanation, he says, is because we cannot see anything that's potential. We can only see something which is actual, which is in the real world, not something which potentially can become into the world. And that is a growth, the fruits. You look at the tree, you cannot see the fruits. When the fruits grow, then you can see it. That's why the word tzitz means both vision, to be able to see, and something which is an extension or an outgrowth of something. From the posuk, from the psukim of the parasha, the Torah tells us the reason for the mitzvahs of tzitzis. Urisem eisoi. The reason for the mitzvah of tzitzis is to see them. Whose chatem is called mitzvah Hashem. Basisemaisa. To see them. And then you will remember the mitzvahs of Hashem, and then you will do them. And on this, the Gemara Menoches, Dav Mem Gimel Amud Beis, states, Melamed Shiriyah Mevi'a L'Dei Shechira. When you see something, you remember. Shechira Mevi'a L'Dei Asiya. When you remember, you do. For example, we have the expression, out of sight, out of mind. You don't see, you don't remember. If you don't remember, you don't do. So this, the Torah gives us the reason for tzitzis. Tzitzis is something that you can see. It's an outgrowth. It's a fruit. So therefore, put on the tzitzis so you shall see them. The tzitzis represent the mitzvahs of Hashem. Actually, in the Rashi brings, and in this form it's brought that our the numerical value of the different parts of the tzitzis can add up to 613. So, therefore, put on the tzitzis so you shall see them. And when you see them, then you'll remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. Ariya may be l'dei zechira, because sight brings one to remember. And zechira may be l'dei asiya, and if you remember, then you do. So this is the mitzvah of tzitzis. And it brings you to a very, very great achievement. In the next pasuk it states, or the same pasuk, "V'leis osur achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem asher zonim atem zonim achareihem," that you shall not be led astray after your heart and after your eyes, of which lead you astray. And on that, the Gemara in Brachas and the Beis Omer Beis states, "Achrei levavchem zuminus." If you let your heart lead you astray, it will bring one to atheism. Einechem zu averes znus. If you let your eyes lead you astray, it will bring one to promiscuity. Asher atem zonim achareihem, and that's what you are taken away with, zu averes ora. This refers to idolatry. And Rashi brings on this pasuk, what does it mean, lo sosuru, the word sosuru? So he brings that sosuru comes from the word that we had in the beginning of the parsha, the beginning of the sedra, speaks about how Moshe sent people, losur esa oritz. Losur esa oritz means to spy out the land. And therefore Rashi brings Haleva Inayim Heim Maraglim Eshaguf Umasar Simulai Eshaverus. The heart of a person and the eyes of a person, they're like spies. They go and see what's doing. Ha'ain Reya Vahalev Chemek. The eyes go and search out to see what's doing, and the heart goes and desires what's doing. La'aguf eises averus, and then they give the person, the body, to do the averus. So this is what it means, le sosuro, losur, from the word maragli. From this we see the power of the eye. From one aspect, Urisem Esayu, whose Chatem is called Mitzvah Hashem Vasisem Esom. From one aspect, the eye can bring you to the greatest achievements in the world, to Kolat Kula, the Torah tells us, to fulfilling the whole Torah. And from the other aspect, it can bring you to the greatest Averus, to the Averus of Minus, atheism, and promiscuity, and Avedis Ora. So here we see the power of the eye, if it's used for good, or if it's used for evil. And this is what is also known as an ayin tov or an ayin ra, a good eye or a bad eye. We find this also illustrated in the Megillas Esther. It states in the Megillas Esther, the Pasuk, Perigimel Pasuk He, that Ahasuerus had elevated, Ahasuerus had elevated Mordechai, and excuse me, Ahasuerus elevated Haman, and everyone would bow to Haman, and Mordechai lo yichra v'liyishtachar. Mordechai would not bow. Then it states, "Vayar Haman ki ein Mordechai kereya umishtachar v'loy." Haman saw that Mordechai would not bow to him. Vayimole Haman chemo, and Haman became full of wrath and anger. And then the story goes on to tell us Vayivir Beino. Mordechai didn't want to, for whatever reason, strike against, excuse me, Haman didn't want to strike against Mordechai alone. So he started to conspire that he'll go to the king and he'll destroy the whole nation of Israel. So how does it start? Vayar Haman ki ein Mordechai kereya umishtachar v'loy. Haman saw that Mordechai would not bow to him, by Mole Haman chemo, and Haman became full of anger and wrath. So the Medrash Rabban Esther Perek Zayin says on this pasuk, Omar Rab evil. The pasuk in Tehillim Samachtes, that David HaMelech said, Techeshachna einehem mer os. The Shoim, their eyes should become darkened from sight. They shouldn't be able to see. This is what David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefi shemarei seinem shel rasha'im meiredes eisam legehenem. Because their sight brings them to Gehenna and brings churban to the world. For example, so the Medrash cites a number of examples, one in Bereishis Vav, Vayiru b'nei Elokim es b'nei so'odom. That in the early days by creation, the angels saw the b'nei so'odom, they saw the daughters, and they started to take them. Or Vayar Chom, Avi Kenoam, Chom saw his father Nayach laying exposed in the tent. And there it brought him to Aveiro, and it brought him to being cursed, he and his generations. Or in Pasuk Chofches, the Pasuk taken by Midbar Chof Beis, this is in the Sedra, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, in Bolok, by Yar Bolok ben Tzipor, Bolok saw that Klal Yisrael was coming towards his land, and from here he went and conspired with Bilam how to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's brought a whole churban. Or by Yar Bilam, he told Beni Hashem Levorach Es Yisrael. Bilam went and he looked at Yisrael and kept trying to curse them and to give them an ayin hara. And by Yar Haman, here it states Haman saw Mordechai wouldn't bow, and from there he conspired to destroy Klal Yisrael. Then the Medrash continues, Avol Maris Einem Shel Tzadikim Toa. That the vision of the righteous should become full of light. Their light, their vision should become even greater. The fee, Shemaris Enem Shel Tzadikim, Malei Som LaMalei Elyona. Because when the righteous look, it brings them to highest level, higher levels all of the time. Adal Duxi, for example, Rishis Yudches, Vayiso Eina Vayar Vihinei Shleish Anoshim. Avram lifted up his eyes and he saw three men in the distance, and he ran out to meet them, and he brought them into his property, and he sat them under the tree, and he brought them water to cool off with, and he made a whole meal for them. Now this is because he looked and he saw three men. And what came from here? Came from here Klal Yisrael. These were the three angels that were coming to announce to Abraham that Sarah would have a son, Yitzchok. And it was through that excuse. Had he turned them away, he might not have had Yitzchok. Because it brought the excuse, Yisach Nosses Orchim, Sarah had the son. Or Vayar Vihnei Ail. Nechas, this fact came up when Abraham wanted to sacrifice Yitzchok, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him. He looked and he found a ram that was caught in the bush, and he brought that as an ola, as a sacrifice in place of his son. Or another example, Vayar Vinei Asnea Baya Ba'esh. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the desert and he saw something in the distance that looked very strange, and he went and he took a good look at it, and it was a bush which was burning and would not become consumed by the fire. And from here started an association which was the greatest in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke for the first time to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the end was going to be where he would give the entire Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and speak to him all of the time. It states Vayar, it started with a vision of being able to see. Vayar Pinchas, soon we have at the end of Parshas Balak, Pinchas saw what was happening with the Midianite and the one from Shimon, and he went and he took a spear and he killed him. This is all because he saw. And from here he was actually, he merited Vrisi Shalom. Because Baruch Hu gave him a covenant of peace, where firstly he became included in the kohuna, the priesthood, and secondly it states Shalom Imalach Hamavis, he never died. Lefichoch, therefore, and the Medrash concludes, Lefichoch heim smeichim b'maritz einehem. For the tzaddikim to look and see, it brings simcha to them, as it states Yiru Yeshorim v'yismachu. That the Yishorim, the Tzaddikim, should see, and it will be bring rejoicing to them. We have another such example of this in the Mishnah and Masechta Ovis, in Perakei Mishnah Yutes. It states as follows: Kol mi sheyesh bei shleish dvorim halolo. Whoever possesses these three attributes will be Talmudim Shel Avraham Avinu. He's in the disciples of Abraham. Shleish Dvarim Acherim. And whoever possesses three other attributes will be Talmudim Shel Bilam Arosha. He's from the disciples of Bilam. And it mentions three attributes. The first one that it mentions by Abraham is Ayin Tova, a good eye. A good eye. The first one that it mentions by Bilam is Ayin Ra, a bad eye. So if you have a good eye, you can be counted amongst the disciples of Avraham Avinu. If you have a bad eye, you can be counted amongst the disciples of Bilam Arosho. How do we know that Avraham had a good eye and Bilam didn't? So the Chazal explained. We see that Abraham was always occupied with being Machnis Orchim and Gemel Chasodim. He was always doing good to others. And he was the Amud HaChesed. He was the pillar of Chesed. He taught Chesed to Klal Yisrael and to the world. Generosity and loving kindness to others. Now, what does this mean? So the Maral explains. If you do something to your fellow man which is coming to him, you give him something which belongs to him, or you do not take something which belongs to him. That's
what is known as Midas HaYesha. You're doing what's right. Midas HaDin. This is what should be done. But that's not Tov HaGomor. That's not the totality of goodness. You don't steal from someone. You can't say that you're a wonderful, wonderful person because you didn't steal from him. This is what the deen, the yosher, the right and wrong requires of one, demands of one. But when you do something to another, for another person, which you don't have to do, for example, you do goodness to him, generosity, you give him something which is yours, that's midas hachesed. That's the Tov HaGomor. That's the milus, that's the level of goodness. And that was the midah, this was the great quality of Abraham. Not only was the quality of Abraham, it was the quality which Abraham developed in the world and taught the world. We see he was always interested in being meitiv acher, always wanted to do good for others. And even if they were deserving or not deserving, he wanted to do good for them. These three wayfarers, he thought they were Arabim, he thought they were Arabs, desert wanderers. As far as he knew, they were idolaters. He had them clean their feet before they came into his property from the dust of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry. He went and he pleaded on behalf of the Dame Vamora. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy those cities. He had to contend with Abraham, pleading on their behalf. Abraham went, and he lived in a world of idolaters. And he didn't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, destroy all of these people. He went and taught them Torah. He taught them all of the Torah of their seven mitzvahs. Because it was totally contrary to his nature, to his qualities that he had developed in himself, to destroy them,
but rather make them good. So this was Abraham. This was the quality of goodness. Therefore he had an Ein Tov. When he saw someone, he saw the possibility of goodness. And he
was a good eye.
Die to let Ishlahach wanted to see in them something bad and something.
Kodesh Baruch Hu saw Israel living in such beauty and in such tranquility and peace between themselves, and with such modesty. He had a difficult time, but Vayisa Seinov, when he lifted up his eyes to look, Rikei Ishlahach Nisbehemayim Roh, he wanted to curse them. To see evil in them, so he would be able to curse them. Now, not only was he looking for something bad, but what was he looking for something bad? And sometimes you see a bad situation, it's very difficult not to see something bad. He saw Israel. Israel was the Tov of all the Umays. Israel was the greatest of all of the nations. What did he see evil in them? Not only that, he hated them. He hated them so much that he was prepared to go to all ends to destroy them. Why, though, did he want to hate them? He had no reason in the world why. Why? Because they had prophets. Kodesh Baruch Hu had made him a prophet amongst the nations of the world. So why? Why did he hate them? The Balak, who was the king of Moab, Balak wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, but that was because he was afraid of them, because he saw them coming towards his land. And he said, Yilach kur hakol es kol sivivoyseinu kilchek hashor es yerek hasodeh. This nation is consuming everything in their way like the cattle consume everything in their way. So he was afraid. That's why he wanted to do something. But what did it just have to do with Bilam? Bilam was a minion, a different nation altogether. Bilam was Misarev and Ariv Leilai. He got involved in a fight that was not even his. Still, whatever he tried to see evil in them, and whenever he saw good in them, he tried to turn it to evil. This is why the Chazal tell us, the called the Mishi Eishle Ein Roh, whoever has such a bad eye, Areu Mitalmudin Shel Bilam HaRosha. Now, where does this come from? Why do we see some people have a good eye? Whenever they see something, they see the good of it. And other people have a bad eye whenever they see someone or something. Derish Lignai. They see the bad of it. Some people, even if someone does something bad, they'll say, he meant well. And others, even when he does something good, they'll say, he didn't mean to do well. He didn't mean to do good. Really, he has selfish, ulterior motives. And the reason for this, the Maral explains, some people have a disposition, a nature, where they have shleimus hanefesh. They develop in themselves a fullness of the nefesh. Well, it's not lacking, but they're satisfied. And they're happy, very happy with what they have. They have everything as far as they're concerned. And they're like a keli sholem, they're like a vessel which is full in totality. And therefore, they don't want anything else except what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, and Kol Shekein, certainly on whatever he has, he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a thankful type of person. You meet people like that. And therefore, they're not interested what others have. Doesn't interest them. Not only that, they're happy that others have something. When they see that others have something, or they see that they're successful by others, it brings simcha to them. Not only that, they want to give to others. So they're not only like a vessel which is in totality, and not only it's a vessel which is full, but it's what the Chazal referred to as mole the godush. That means it's full and overflowing. They have so much that it's overflowing to others. Now this is not because they have so much material. A lot of times people say, you know, if I would be a millionaire, I would also give a lot away. You see as many millionaires not giving away, as many poor people that do give away. There's nothing to do with what you have. Nothing whatsoever. Selfishness or selflessness has exactly nothing to do with how much one possesses. And if you don't believe me, take a census and you'll see. But rather, it's the quality of the person himself. He who is selfless, he likes to give to others, he could be the poorest man in the world. And he was selfish, he can be the wealthiest man in the world. And he finds it very difficult to give anything to others. Of his wealth, of himself, or whatever it might be. A lot of people like to rationalize and justify. When I'll have so much, then I'll also. Not true. They're just deceiving themselves. So this was the midah of Avraham Avinu and his Talmidim. And that's why you find by them the Keach HaNesima, where they had such a power of giving. Avraham was giving to the world all of the time. And that's why it states in this Mishnah, which we just read, it says, Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu, what is their reward? Eichlin Be'elam Azer and Eichlin Le'elam Habo. They eat in this world and they inherit the world to come. As it states, La'anchel O'aveyesh V'Eitzreisehem Amalei. They will inherit I will give to my beloved ones something of substance, and I will fill up their storehouses. They inherit the world to come because they like the world to come. The world to come is a world which lacks nothing, and they lack nothing. It's a fullness. They have a fullness. And that's why Abram's name is from the word Av. His name was Avram, which meant he was the father of Rom, Aram Narayim, or a great father. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu added to it Avraham, where he will not only be a father to Ram, to Aram Narayim, but Av Hamein Goyim, he will be an Av L'chol Ha'elam, a father to the whole world, because a father is the mitzvah of giving. Father gives. Father gives birth. A father sustains. A father supports. The quality, the midah of father is to give. This is Avraham. Bilam, this was the, yes, the contrary. Where does Ein Ra come from? A bad eye? That is someone who has developed a nature in himself where he's kikli shavur, like he's a broken vessel. A broken vessel is always lacking, never satisfied, never full. So therefore, if it's never satisfied and never full, wants more all of the time. And whatever he sees, he wants. And he wants what's by others also. And it bothers him, therefore. If he's lacking, it bothers him when he sees someone else has. And therefore, he's makana. He's jealous. The Rashi, who in the Parsha, the case I believe it is, Paro's dream, so Rashi brings there that when there's prosperity in the world, people have a good eye toward each other. When there's famine, now then they are jealous of each other because they're lacking themselves. They lack themselves. It goes against their grain when someone else is not lacking. And this is an Ein Ra. And it's a tzarlah. It becomes an anguish to them when others have success. And this is the midah, this is the quality of Bilam. And therefore we find by Bilam in his Talmudim is Iskaber the Keach HaLekicha, to take is the strong quality. Just the opposite of Abraham that was interested in giving to the world, Bilam wants to take. What is his quality? What is his end? The Mishnah Rabbah states, "Talmidim shel Bilam arashi yorshin gehenem. They will inherit gehenem. The yodim leber shachas, and they will go down to an empty abyss. Gehenem is an empty abyss. It's where it lacks substance, and this is what they identify." Because someone who constantly wants and who's constantly taking, and whatever you offer him, he's always taking and taking and taking, and sometimes even without you offering him, it shows he's lacking something. He must have an empty, it must be an empty vessel, otherwise there's no room to put it in. And so if he's empty, he can't identify with the world to come. The world to come is lacking nothing. He identifies with Gehenem. Gehenem is the emptiness from creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world, he left over a little which was not created. That was Gehenem. A bare shachas. An empty voidness and pit in the world. This is what they identify. And that's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings, why was his name Bilam? From the word Bola Am, to swallow up a nation. Someone who's empty wants to swallow up. So it's just the opposite of Abraham, whose name was Av, to give life to the world. He was Bolaam, to swallow up life. This Ein Ra, or Ein Tov, this is not only when it comes to assessing people or their actions, but this is when it comes to assess every situation that a person comes to, situations in life. And this we see right here from this Sedra of the Meraglim. Because Moshe sent out the Meraglim also as a order to spy out the land. This is what they wanted to see. Now, visualize the situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them into this enormous desert, Midbar Godel V'Meira, where no life existed before. And he brought them to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And there in Eretz Yisrael were the Shiva Umes, the seven nations which were the descendants of the Canaanite. They were large and ferocious nations. And the Torah itself testifies on them that there was no nation in the world that was so cruel and ferocious and full of abominations as Mitzrayim, as Egypt, with the exception of these seven. These seven were worse than Egypt, the Egyptians. So these were the seven nations that had occupied and had fortified themselves in Eretz Yisrael. The Gama Anoki Bar Imushon, the Amalek, and they saw Amalek there, and they already had a confrontation with Amalek. That was the grandson of Esau. And they saw the Anokim were enormous giants living there. The fact is, Rashi brings, when the Anokim saw them, they said, look, in our gardens there are hagovim, there are grasshoppers that look like Bnei Odom, that look like people. This is what they thought of the spies. And on top of that, there were 31 kings living in Eretz Yisrael with their palaces. Because what were so many kings doing there? Because it states that there wasn't a king who was worth his salt that didn't have a summer home in Eretz Yisrael, a summer palace. So they were there with their people. And then when they came through the land, they saw that it's a land that consumes its inhabitants. Because wherever they looked, there were leviathans going on. So they saw a situation, they reported the situation as is. Why shouldn't they be afraid? And especially if they wanted to see the bad side of it. Yeshua and Kalev, they saw the good side of it. They said, Lachmeinu, it's our bread. We will consume that. Because our God is Baruch Hu has brought us here, brought us out of Egypt, and he made enormous miracles, and he destroyed the Egyptians, and he split the sea, and therefore he will be able to bring us into this land also. And it's a beautiful land, and Tovi Hima Odni Od, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he will give it to us. And they knew that there were answers to all of this that the others were saying. Actually, the reason why they saw so many leviathans is HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for their own good, because he made a lot of people die that day in order they should be busy with leviathans and not see the Meraglim. So what do we see? That one set came and looked at it with an Ein Ra, the other set came and looked at it with an Ein Tov. We find this also in another Mishnah, in Perek Beis Mishnah Ches. There it states that the great Rabbi Yehudah ben Zakkai, who studied by Hillel and Shammai, he had five great disciples, and he asked each one, "Tzu'u Uru, Omar Lehem, go and see Eze Hiderek Tova Shidvak Bo'odam. Go and see what is the best way that a person should cleave to. Now, one of his greatest Talmidim was Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. He was known as Rabbi Lezer Agobi. In fact, there's two opinions as to who was his greatest Talmud. And one opinion here in the Mishnah was Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. And he said that the greatest quality that a person can have is an Ein Tov, a good eye. Ein Tov. And then later on, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, Omer lehem tzuru ezi derech rosh yisrachi v'man olam. Go out and see which is the worst derech, worst approach a person can have in this world. And on that, Rabbi Lezer said again, Ein ro, an evil eye. So we see that the power of this eye, the morale adds to this. He says, besides the power that the eye will bring to one, like we said, here, if he looks properly, it will bring him to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Ein Re'ah, and Re'ah maybe l'day Zachira, it will bring him to remember. Azchira maybe l'day Asiya, this will bring him to do. And on the other hand, the Lev Ein, the Ein Rei of Alev Chemet, that the eye will see and the heart will desire, and it can bring him to the worst things in the world. The Maral writes, besides its enormous power, but he says, a good eye can bring to a person so much good, She'ein Dover She'rogul by Odom, Kimei says. It's called Shor, the Rega Rea Eitzel B'nei Odom. There is nothing that the person possesses which is so tamid, which is so always, because the eye always sees. It's always seen. Nobody's talking, you don't hear, but you always see. In other words, every waking hour you are seeing. So you could see thousands and thousands and thousands of visions per day. And keherify at the blink of an eyelid. So the eye is taking in countless information to the mind and to the heart all of the time. So if you use it for good, the Maris Einehem Shel Tzadikim Bali Neseh Lemaila Gedola, vision of the tzaddikim bring them to great heights. If one uses it for evil, heaven forbid, we see where it brings them. Techshachno einei reshoim, let the eyes of the reshoim be darkened, because it brings churban to them and to others. I'd like to conclude with a story I once read about the Chofetz Chaim. And you could see here the eye that he had. He was once in traveling, and he came to an inn where he decided to stay. And he went down to eat, and waiting on the people who were eating there was the owner and his daughter. And the daughter was serving the tables. Next to him was sitting a Jew, but a very, very a ruffian, very grubber person, a very coarse individual. He was dressed very coarsely, and he was not well groomed at all, and he was not well mannered, the opposite of a gentleman. And he was giving the waitress a hard time. He was barking at her, and shouting orders at her, complaining, and telling her to go get this and that and so forth and so on. And this was upsetting the Chofetz Chaim very much. So after a little while, he asked the innkeeper, "Who is that guy?" "Oh," he says, "Rebbe," he says, "this is a little young, a very, very poor Samoritz. And what do you expect?" So he asked a little more about him. "But why is he like that?" And so forth and so on. "You know, he had the Midas of a Goy." So he said, "He's Nebuch, when he was a young boy, the Russians took him and put him in the army. This was one of the great dangers in Europe at that time. So he served in the Russian army for 10 or 15 or 20 years. So this is why he's like that." So the Chofetz Chaim said, "I'd like to talk to him." So the innkeeper said, no, didn't want the Chofetz Chaim to talk to him because he was afraid that this man is liable to start cursing or swearing or insulting him. Now the Chofetz Chaim insisted. So he went over to him and he said, "The rabbi would like to speak to you." "Did you speak to me?" "Yeah." "Okay." So he came over to the Chofetz Chaim. "What do you want?" So the Chofetz Chaim says, "I have great admiration for you." He says, "Why do you have admiration for me?" He says, "Because I understand that when you were a young boy, 7, 8 years old, they took you away to the Russian army. And you were there for 10 or 15 or 20 years. And you still consider yourself a Jew. If I would have been in the Russian army from 7 or 8 years old, and for 15 years, I don't think I would be able to still consider myself a Jew because I grew up amongst Goyim. After giving so many years, being away from Jews, and growing up a Goyim, and you still want to be known as a Jew, and you're still proud to be a Jew, and I don't know if I could have done that, I have great admiration for you." And this person was shocked and stunned because no one ever spoke to him like that before. Time went on, they spoke more, but see, eventually the Chofetz Chaim made him into a very, very fine Jew. A Jew, Shemri Teir and Shemri Mitzvahs. So this was the power here you had, where you could have had a good eye or a bad eye. There you saw the Ayin Tov, the good eye of the Chofetz Chaim. So this is what we learn from this parsha, where Yisem Eisoi, who the Chartim is called Mitzvah Sashem.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.